21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Look up your chimney, the sky ain't blue, it's kind of yellow, you know it's true.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Bob Hieronymus. Our executive producer and research assistant is Laura Kortner. And our engineer is A.Y. Warshall. You listening to what the traveling Wilburys are saying? You know, our weather is changing, friends. It really is. And we had a lot to do with it. I know, and many of you think that that's just a bunch of stuff. But unfortunately, it is obvious. It is so obvious. It's changing our entire, it's changing the world. It's going to be a different world within the next 10, 15 years. Well, okay. However, I'm having so much fun tonight that I can forget about all of that because I'll think about that later on. Our guest, of course, is Nancy Jo Fox. The book is Liberties with Liberty, the fascinating history of America's proudest symbol, E.P. Dutton, 1986. You will love this book, and that's the reason why we say to you, it's available online through the link on 21stcenturyradio.com. But if you purchase a copy of this book, not only is everyone in your family going to love you 10 times more, mainly because you're going to be showing them something that they really want to know about, that is our history, then any, if you prove it to us, you can have a copy of any of our books that we have done, written on 21st Century Radio. But also right now, check out the Lady Liberty Gallery at 21stcenturyradio.com, because we're going to talk about 16 other images that you will just love seeing. So go up there right about now. Joe, sorry I took so long to say all of that. My producer was punching me in the nose, and she has every right to do that. Now, shop markers and signs. Some of the earliest surviving shop signs were for tobacco shops. What do we see on these early tobacconist signs?
Well, of course, carving began immediately in this country because they had to make everything they needed. And anyone could and had to carve. Sailors, you know, tinsmiths, boat builders, carpenters, artists, lumberjacks. The enormous virgin forest offered a wide variety of wood, so this was part of the world that they lived in. They had to make decoys, for example, to attract other birds for food. They embellished their inns, their taverns, their ships, their homes, their farms, circuses, pastry imprints, toys, dolls, carousels, it just goes on and on. But one of the most wonderful things are these shop figures. You must realize that Americans, most of them could not read. And these towns, these little dirt, you can picture dirt roads and the little shops on each side, all having either signs or three-dimensional figures. Now, the tobacconists, because the Indians presented the new people that came to this country with tobacco, and, you know, that was identification for the tobacco shop. And you'll see the Indian princess, she's dressed now, the queen was not, holding cigars in her hand, and generally they would hold tobacco leaves too, or perhaps tobacco leaves could be on part of her dress. There were two kinds, the ones that stayed outdoors and the ones that were on the countertops, and they were painted very brightly to attract your attention, also to protect the wood. What was interesting, too, to me was that all of them had holes drilled in the top because they would put linseed oil in them to preserve the wood.
Oh,
these are collector's items. I mean, I've got the one that's so rare that's the black Indian, a small countertop, and it's dazzling. Mm. And that usually had a white, meerschaum pipe in it. I don't have the pipe, but I've got the guy, and he's wonderful. Signs also, were two-dimensional, and they were therefore interesting too, but I'm drawn to anything three-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's holding, by the way, friends, we're looking at figure 43, which is actually number two.
It's done by Samuel Robb, and he was one of the famous, the great carvers. He also carved for for circuses Mr. Barnum.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I remember him. And this one has wheels on the bottom, so they could wheel it in and out.
Exactly.
But she's holding something in her right hand.
Well, I think that's a plug of tobacco. Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah. Now, thank
that's
you.
What it is.
Yeah, that's what
sometimes
that is.
Sometimes they would hold the tobacco leaves, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's very colorful. Very color. I love the coloration within her skirt. And the colors are so subtle, and yet they're dynamic.
Well, really. You can't miss them.
Nope, you can't miss this one. I love those little wheels there at the bottom, too. Now, let's go to our third image on...
Marvelous. That's a marvelous, marvelous thing. It's very important. This is a toile de jouy, printed copper plate, done in England. It's cotton on linen, and it is still made today. You can buy it today in about six different versions. Why is it important? Well, look at it. It's got the plume goddess. It's got the caduceus. It's got the shield. It's got the little black Indian waving the new flag. It's got the leopards from Central and South America. It's got George Washington. It's got Benjamin Franklin. It's got Minerva or she may be a Columbia. She's got the shield. It's got Liberty with the Liberty cap. It's got almost everything, soup to nuts, you know?
Is that fame or victory up there, blowing the trumpet?
I think it is.
I think
that's what it is.
Yeah, and then it has some very interesting animals. This is
gorgeous. Well, you know, the rattlesnake is in there. There's a small angel holding him back of the 13 colonies.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Plus the palm trees, you know, they considered North and South and Central America. I mean, it wasn't just North America. They, you know, when you see these tropical animals and tropical foliage, they're aware of the Central and South America.
Yeah.
You see the leopard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that the snake. I mean, it's just amazing to me that everything that's going on in this thing, and everybody loves this. They just adore this print.
Yep, even the little cannonballs there to the left.
Yeah, look at this.
And those shields. The shields there. They're on the tree in the upper left hand. That's the bottom of the tree.
It's got a face with a.
Yeah, who do you think that might be? There.
It has got to be one of the female images.
Yeah, it has to be, because one of the other shields there is almost. It's very similar to the British.
It is. It could be. It could be with the guns and the cannon, but may be that. But it's not down. If it were down on the floor, broken, I could see it. But I can't make it. I think this is the flag of Britain on the ground. I'm not sure. I can't read this picture very well.
Well,
and I don't have it in my description of it.
Well, but one of the I don't know if they're little angels or cupids or whatever is holding a striped flag, red and white stripes.
That's our American flag that they hadn't quite.
That's right. They didn't quite put the blue canton in there yet, and that.
I think on the other side is the stars, the blue and the stars. The edge, the tip.
Oh, do you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have it in the. They got it.
I'm telling you, all these funky things happen.
Then there's people when you look way back behind. Liberty. Well, this is the one with the ostrich feathers in it, and she's holding the caduceus wand.
The caduceus was Mercury's symbol, and Mercury, if you remember your mythology, was the one who went in to rescue the wounded.
Mm-hmm.
That's a symbol for peace. You know, like a white flag.
And further behind them is a group of horses and other soldiers.
It looks like a boat.
Yeah, yes, it looks like that. But, you know, it's one of those things that you can keep looking at and finding things all over.
You've got to have a magnifying glass.
Yeah, you got to have one of those. Sure. Well, let's move on to number four. This is...
this is fantastic.
Yeah.
This is a seminal influence on Liberty. This wonderful... Liberty in the form of the goddess of youth giving support to the bald eagle was a steel engraving based on the ancient painting of the Greek goddess Hebe and the god Jove, who was symbolized by an eagle. This was a print from a painting now. Nobody knows where it is, but it has all of the folk things, unifying liberty, the flag, the liberty cap, the old world symbols of tyranny. If you look at her feet, she's stepping on the star, the royal garter. She's stepping on... I can't see this.
Well, she's Yeah, she's got a broken, look like a, is that a wand? Or to the right there? But she is stepping on the British.
The symbols of authority. I just can't,
yeah.
I think it's a chain broken.
Yep, you're right.
She's nourishing the eagle, which is the symbol of strength. You know, I think, I may be mistaken, but I think the eagle flies higher than any other bird.
Yes.
And it's a powerful bird. I think that's probably the reason that, you know, that was chosen for this country instead of, you know.
Oh, yes.
That one that Benjamin Franklin wanted, the turkey.
Yeah, but, turkey. You know, he had a little, you know, Benjamin Franklin was always a little tongue-in-cheek. And
well, he was a very brilliant fellow, I tell you. But, I mean, here's the Liberty cap again out there, you know. And, of course, Liberty is now pretty. She's in a lace dress. She's got flowers. She's wearing the blue sash over her lace bodice and flowers in her hair. And I mean, it's a whole different ball game now, you know. It says she's stepping on the Quai de Bastille, the crown of Britain. That's probably what I'm looking at, right foot is the crown. But this thing was circulated and so inspirational. And this is what is copied so much, as you'll see in the next one when you go to this wonderful Wondershade when we get to that. Are you there yet?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, I'm at, I was going, do you want us to move on to number five? We should, because this this is a window shade.
I know.
Wow.
Just imagine how wanting to show your image of your country so much you put on a window shade.
Yeah, yes. You
and
know.
Look at her rosy cheeks. I mean, this is the charm of folk art. This is really, look at those lacy little sandals. And here's George Washington, who has died, the father of our country, you know, a memorial to him. And, of course, here's the echo of the classical Greeks and Rome with the laurel wreath. You know, and looking at the eagle flying off in the distance, meaning his soul is departing, you know. There's the Liberty tree, which with the Liberty pole and cap on it. And, of course, she's flying the flag. I just think there's so much charm. I mean, look at this awkward perspective. I mean, look at that left arm. No human arm could ever be that way. It's just got so much going for it.
Well, I wanted to just stop back there on number four and five. They're feeding the eagle. She's feeding the eagle. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah, she's nourishing the eagle. I said
nourishing, and that's the symbolism that I missed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't think about her actually nourishing our country. But
yes.
What symbols?
Exactly what she is. This is
liberty.
This is making this country what it is because we have liberty to do anything we want. You know, be anything we want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point. That's why this country was formed and why it is so great.
Well, then this.
I mean, look at what you've done.
Pardon me?
Look at what you've done.
Well, I have a hard, being a Virgo, I have a hard time thinking I do anything right. I have a real, you know, if it's not perfect, I have trouble with it. And it's
Well, now listen.
Yeah.
You know, the early needlework, there's one thing wrong in it. Somebody said, was looking at the quilt and said, oh, there's a piece missing. I said, it's not missing, it's that way, because they said only God can make something perfect. And a lot of sappers that way, they'll leave a letter out of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
They do it intentionally.
Yeah, they do. We are coming close to our break. I'd rather take it now, producer, if that's possible, because this next piece, number six, figure 31.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, yes, a blonde hair. Well, I want to.
Shall I talk about that now?
Not right now. We're going to take a break here on 21st Century Radio with our guest, Nancy Jo Fox, Liberties with Liberty, the fascinating history of America's proudest symbol, E.P. Dutton, 1986, available online through the link on 21stcenturyradio.com. Now, remember, check out. You should be up on our website right now. You can see these gorgeous images, but look at number six. Number six, and actually, it's a figure number 31, but it's our sixth figure up there. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
This is Dr. Sally Rhine Feather, the daughter of Dr. J.B. and Eliza Rhine that started the ESP research at Duke University. And I have just appeared on the Bob Hieronymus show. And I think this kind of radio does so much for the public. It brings them information where they can get no other way.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio with our guest Nancy Jo Fox, Liberties with Liberty, the fascinating history of America's proudest symbol, E.P. Dutton, 1986, available online through the link on 21stcenturyradio.com. And you should be up right now checking out our Liberty Gallery, Lady Liberty gallery at 21stCenturyRadio.com to see the various figures that we're going to be discussing. We're going to, Joe, now we're going to move to figure 31, which is actually number 6 okay. that we've discussed.
Well, this is one of my favorites. It's Liberty and Worship Memorial. It first shows now the Grecian goddess is now blonde. She has a tiara on, and she's dressed in white. George Washington has died, and you can see that by the departing ship and the setting sun, and, of course, the little angel hovering over his head. The Indian princess is now very demure. She's white. She has blonde hair, and she's sitting with her tobacco leaf skirt, and, of course, Benjamin Franklin is there. And the abundanza of the country is shown in all this fruit that is embroidered around it and had, I think, sequins around it. And there's a bowl of fruit showing the wealth of this country as far as its, you know, ability to feed and protect people. It was taken from a printed a handkerchief, which, of course, is probably in the DR Museum, I think, as I recall. But the Liberty Pole is there, and it's just, to me, it is so charming with lack of perspective, and it's just straight on design as far as it's flat, but it's wonderful, and I love it. It's one of my favorites. Uh-huh. It's needlework. It was done about, we don't know, of course, by Anonymous again.
Yeah.
And it's one of the many memorials to George Washington because he was a great loss. The whole Eastern Seaboard suffered greatly.
Oh, yes, yes.
You want to move on to the next one?
Oh, yeah, let's go to the plume goddess number 7,
here
figure
we go
19.
Again. You get all my favorites here. Here's a little black Indian fellow there. This is another memorial to George Washington and a watercolor on paper. Sometimes these things were also pinpricked, which made for a very interesting. It shows her now, this is the plume goddess in her Grecian-type robes, and, of course, all the palmettos are the fruit trees. It looks like a tropical environment. Even the tombstone is rather strangely shaped.
Yeah.
The confusion again in England and in Europe about the black Indians is quite evident here. He's got a turban. It looks like feathers. I'm not sure. But he's draped in kind of an Indian-like, almost Gandhi-like costume. And she is there holding the flag, very brightly garbed. But, of course, they're mourning the great Washington with her black Indian companion, and it's just so unusual to me to find something like that. I was very glad to get it Philadelphia Museum.
Is that a tobacco skirt that he's wearing?
No, he's not wearing it. He's just wearing some kind of fabric, brightly colored
fabric. Oh, some kind of fabric?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. There's no tobacco on this guy.
Yeah, it looks like a little Gandhi right there.
And he does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to number 8, Scrimshaw, number 50, figure
77. Scrimshaw was decorative art done by sailors on the whaling ships because, you know, they were long voyages, 2 and 3 years, and dangerous voyages. Most of the scrimshaw that you see has been incised and inked using part of the carcass of the actual whale itself. And these are all sorts of things were done for the loving relatives at home. It was sort of a sanity at sea, I call it, because this was very lonely for these people. And they took the bones of these and the teeth and, carved all sorts of patriotic items on these things. I've seen them with flags, with little buildings of home, or trying a little picture of their mother or daughter, whatever. And this one is unusual, and that's why I put it in the book, because it is not carved. It's not incised. I mean, it's carved. And it shows it's a Columbia.
It looks like Columbia, yeah.
Yeah, I can hardly see. My stat isn't so good here. But this was quite unusual, and that's why I put it in. There is another one in the book, but this I thought was special, and so that's why I added to it.
Well, we're going to go to number 9 right now. This is one of my favorites. Oh, boy. This is just so gorgeous. Miss Liberty Boathouse figure, figure 47. This is number 9.
Well, now, everybody's familiar with the ship carvings on the... I think there's a museum in Newport, Virginia, the Mariners Museum, that has a wonderful collection of these glorious figures on the ships. But they were also done, this goes back to the time of the Vikings. when they put the eye. The eye is very important in all indigenous art, particularly in folk art America, the protective eye. And this goes back to the times of Egypt. There's nothing new about this. When sailors would get on boats and go into the sea, they never knew if they were coming back. So this was their talisman to get them home safe at the port. Now, you have two kinds of these, the carvings for the ships that went all around the waters, around the country and further. And then you have the inland waterways. And this little character, she's not terribly big, but she is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loved her at the shows. She's from a boathouse in Tuffenboro, New Hampshire. And she has such a face. You ought to see this in public because she's really divine. I mean, in person.
Mm-hmm.
She's got just everything that you'd want in a piece of folk art. Look at that stiff face. I mean, she's just really fierce. And then that silly pole that's holding the flag, it's bent. She's got this funny little sword.
Yeah.
She looks like, you know, she's just wonderful. There's no other word.
Yeah.
She's just wonderful.
And, you know, that little bent flag, design-wise, yes, it does. I think that negative space in between is beautiful.
It works.
A positive. Okay. Well, now we're going to go to some. I've learned so much from this book. But number 10, a stove radiator. This is number 51. And again, friends, you should go up to our Lady Liberty Gallery at 21stcenturyradio.com. This is number 10 or figure 51.
Yeah. This was also done and accompanied by one of George Washington, which is kind of neat, but, of course, I love this one. It's called Birth of a Nation, and it echoes the rapid growth of the iron industry in the United States, which caused all kinds of things to happen. I've got a wonderful iron stove in my den here that they used to weigh nails on. So there were all sorts of things for houses, interior and exterior, including the gardens, in the stores, the summer resorts and country retreats that have somehow survived. And, of course, there are even garden shows now, these old pieces of iron furniture. Some of them are quite beautiful. They're elegant. Now, these things were utilitarian. As I mentioned, folk art had to be almost utilitarian for sometimes because that's all they had. They didn't come here with beautiful fabrics or beautiful furniture or any beautiful mantelpiece. Everything had to be created here. And this was, I think this is remarkable.
Yeah.
Miss Liberty, of course, her loose hair. She is not holding any Liberty cap or pole, but we know that she's Miss Liberty because she was done in conjunction with George Washington, and I think it was written. I don't have it. It was from the famous Barbara Johnson collection of Johnson & Johnson. So this is quite a thing here.
You know, the next one we're going to take a look at, another extraordinary piece. This is 10, we call this
10A.
10A,
I think,
yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The fireman's hat.
This is the fireman's hat.
Let me find it. I've got to find that thing. I don't have a picture of it. Hold on a second.
Okay, this is...
It was done, the firemen's, hear my dog. Firemen, they, of course, had fires because most of the houses were framed. And the thing is, you had to join the firemen, a fireman's group, and have a fire mark of iron put on your front door to show that you belong to that mark. Otherwise, if you didn't, your house would burn to the ground because nobody would help you.
Holy cow.
It had to be the group that you had paid money to. But there's a glorious thing of fire, I don't know what you call it, fire mania. There were wonderful hats and brass horns and fire marks, as I mentioned. There were shields and water kegs and pump wagons and even the certain caps they would have that had the Liberty cap, Liberty on them. And also they had dogs. They had wonderful Dalmatians that went with them. This is an old-timey, you know, American phenomenon. Now, this was from the Mount Airy Fire Company in Pennsylvania. It's a stovepipe hat.
Yeah.
It's around 1840, and it's hand-painted. Liberty's holding her flag and also the shield and the Liberty cap and pole, as I mentioned.
Yeah, this is one of the few times I've seen the Liberty cap in its real color, red.
Well, there are some dazzling ones out there, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I think Philadelphia has a museum of firefighting equipment, and some of those engines are to die for. And the museum, the city of New York, has some down in their basement. I mean, it's another world when you look at these things. You know, you wonder how they ever got there.
Well, yeah.
You know, and horse-drawn, of course. I mean, can't you see it now with the Dalmatians barking? Oh, my word.
Oh, well, but this one, the next one, number 11.
That's
a real honey, yeah.
That's in the Shelburne Museum. It's wonderful. I've seen it. These things are reminiscent of the primarily Catholic processionals, and they still have them. Of course, they have different kinds of folk art processionals and dances and things still in Europe, not necessarily Catholic. But this is reminiscent of the Virgin Mary, and I think they still have that down in Mulberry Street in the Village every year, every a certain holiday, Italian section, of these processionals. This was done in West Virginia around 1600s. It's a sculpture, of course, in painted wood. It's, to me, so charming. The dog is holding a book, which is reminiscent of the Declaration of Independence, and it's flowers everywhere on this wonderful kind of... it's got to be an Italian chair because it's reminiscent of the Requena and the Spanish or Italian chairs. She's got a crown with leaf ornaments reminiscent of the wreath, the laurel wreath. She has a shirt that shows the stars.
Oh, and the moon.
And it's just, I don't know, to me it's delightful. I think people do like that. It's almost a doll-like quality to it.
What makes you say that this is probably inspired by a religious professional or cathedral?
Well, because there were so many of them, Bob. They just, there were constant professionals in the religions, the Catholic religions in Europe. There was always a professional, and you see this in Central and South America still. There's certain religious holidays, and they'll bring out these things from the church that generally do not leave, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they will for the public to see. It's a take on things. But in folk festivals, they still do these things. They bring out carved figures. In Europe, I bumped into one where people were dressed on stilts with masks, and it was fantastic. I didn't know what I was looking at.
Wow.
But it was wonderful, you know. And one of all days not to have my camera.
Oh, well, that's always...
And that's the first and last time it happened to me, let me tell you.
Good going.
You
solved that problem and you corrected it permanently. Figures 70 and 71, these are cake boards. I knew very little about these things.
Well, I had to explain when I talked about these things, when I lectured, someone said, well, why didn't they burn? I said, burn? You don't put them in the oven. You put them on your pastry. You press it down, and it reverses and comes up. And that's what you do. That's why they've lasted. I've got several. They are something else. I've got a large one about 4 feet high with Punch on one side and Judy on the other. They were done for gingerbread in Belgium. And they're just, these are collector's items. This is done by Henry Cox, and his things are the best and the most sought after. They rarely come to market. It's a Washington Memorial again. You know, he died. And the third, it's quarter of the 19th century. You would press, as I said, down in your dough and then bake it. It's this one is particularly wonderful because it shows two female figures. The one on the right nurse, she's the bald eagle again, echoing that famous Savage engraving, while the other one holds a Liberty cap on a pole. The shield and the two flags with another cap and pole are carved, and the Indian brave stands majestically, as they said, on the left, because he is. It's a lot of these images, you know, that coming together again on a cake board, which to me is amazing. But Americans wanted this. This is a reminder of their life. This is their symbology. This is it. You know, this is not. This is our country, and this is how they preserve it. They made a cake and they ate it.
Now you can have your cake and eat it too. Well,
and Laura asked me about the other one. I don't have the picture of it, but I do know, and I'll mention this. It had. She said, "Why the parrot?"
Yeah.
The parrot is seen on a lot of folk art because it came from Carolina. It was a beautiful bird. It was shown on particularly on the Pennsylvania Dower chest and in the fracteur of the Pennsylvania Germans. But they came up to Pennsylvania every spring to eat, and they were annihilated by the farmers because they were destroying the crops. There were so many of them, and they annihilated things. They're gone. They're gone forever.
Mm.
But that's why they are. You'll see them on the Pennsylvania blanket chest, so beautifully painted. You'll see the birds, you know. It's the Carolina parrot.
Well, you know, back to Henry Cox just a second. It's in a kind of an eye shape.
Yes, it is. And I was wondering if you're going to pick that up.
Yeah, that was kind of, it's like the man.
Well, there's the eye. They're right there, yeah. You know.
It's the mandorla shape also, which is, you know, the intersecting of two circles, which has,
yes.
That's very powerful symbolism there.
Yes,
from
yes.
That standpoint. Now,
well, the eye, you know, the eye is just, it's part of so many cultures, I mean, primitive and whatever, it is there, you know, from Egypt on, or before even, I don't know, but it's, you can pick up any culture almost and see something about the eye.
For sure, for
which
sure.
Is another world. That's a book for you to write.
Yeah. All right, I'll do that tomorrow.
Right back.
I'll do that tomorrow. Now we go to figure 57, and this is a gatepost finial. I don't know what a finial is, but...
A finial is something on top of a pole of some kind to embellish it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You see it on banisters, you see it on tops of houses, I mean the corners of houses or whatever. It can be carved, it can be a basket of fruit or flowers, it can be a simple Grecian-type urn, it can be anything.
Oh, I see.
It's an additional architectural element. This little honey bunny, she's so crude and so clunky, I adore her.
Yeah, so
she has nails for her crown, and she's carved from one piece of wood and weathered, stood out there in the rain, nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
Again, by that famous artist, Anonymous. In Argos Corner, Delaware, don't ask me where that is. She's made of wood and wrought iron, and she was used for a gatepost, of course, using the natural grain of the wood to emphasize her robes and her outthrust arm, which goes way back to the Grecian goddess of liberty.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
We haven't forgotten, you know.
Yeah.
It has traces of brown paint and mustard yellow. And there's a little bit of black paint on her hair and the Declaration of Independence tablet under her arm. Her torch is missing, but I just thought she had to be included. They're just unique, these things. That's what I so love about American folk art. They're so generally one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like that very much.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. Okay, figure 84 is a cigar label box.
You know, I mentioned that we come back to see that again. And this was done in 1890. You still can see these things today if you go into a good cigar store. You will see Indian motifs on almost everything you find. See, now, this is Liberty now all flossied up. She's pretty fetching there with her little feathers and things on her hat. And the two little Indian, I think one's a girl, one's a boy, I'm not sure. But again, the tobacco, they hold into tobacco leaf. And the flowers makes it, you see, it's supposed to be a little present for you to smoke. You know, associate with flowers and liberty and the shield and the flag and the liberty cap and all that jazz, which, of course, it's deadly. You know, you don't want to smoke, but at that time they didn't know. Maybe the Indians had something in mind. What do you think?
Well, they did, but also they didn't adulterate their tobacco. And
they didn't
always necessarily, when they smoked, they didn't smoke. Especially peace pipes. They didn't sit around and just puff their pipe. It was, they only took a couple of puffs from that standpoint. But we're going to take our final break of the show. Is that correct, Dr. Kortner? Okay, yes, indeed. Our guest is Nancy Jo Fox. The book is Liberties with Liberty, The Fascinating History of America's Proudest Symbol, E.P. Dutton, 1986. And if you're up on 21stCenturyRadio.com on our website, you should be up there now, because we're about ready to take a look at, we're going to take another, this is one of my favorite. You'll find out about it when we get back with Nancy Jo Fox.
Stevens, reminding you to stay tuned to 21st Century Radio's Hieronymus and Company to hear more about my dad, Babe Ruth.
Oh, I'd like to hear about her dad all the time. Babe Ruth, it's my favorite player forever. Yes, there are some few flaws in his character. Well, a couple hundred flaws in his character. But I love the way he interacted with children. Our guest is Nancy Jo Fox. The book that we've been trying to make sure that you get a copy of is Liberties with Liberty, The Fascinating History of America's Proudest Symbol, E.P. Dutton, published 1986, available online through the link on 21stCenturyRadio.com. And remember, you should be up on our website right now, because we are now coming to figure... this is one of my favorite ones. Figure 82, a kaleidoscope.
Am I ready?
Oh, yeah. Are you ready? Okay. Go get them. Yes.
Oh, well, this is, you know, some people may not know what a kaleidoscope is, but if you look into it and you move to a certain part, these pieces of colored glass will change into hundreds of thousands of wonderful patterns. It's just almost abstract art. It's wonderful. But this one is so charming. It was done in the late 19th, early 20th century, of course, again by Anonymous. It's hand-painted red, white, and blue and gold, and it shows Miss Liberty with her crown and dressed in stripes, little feet peeking out the bottom, and, of course, the flag is swirling around here. I see the stars. It's kind of a mishmash, but why not? I don't know. I wish I could buy this. I tried to track it down, but the woman no longer owns it, but it is, to me, a very special, special piece, and I'm glad you like it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Shall we move on to the next one?
Yes, let's go to number 24, figure 24.
It's my outsider artist fella.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is very interesting.
Well, Peter Charlie Bucero was a immigrant from Armenia, and he settled in Pennsylvania, becoming a kind of a handyman, a house painter, and he rented a garage behind a hardware store and painted in secret, using, again, whatever was handy, like the folk artist does, linoleum, fabric, paper. He did outer space invaders and extortion against false promises made by politicians and clergy. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Eastern and Western religious symbols, mystical events, and he very much admired Lincoln. And his work is what we now call outsider. I like that term because it does convey that these people live and work alone and have their own visions. I was fortunate enough to see some work in the mentally disturbed done in Rio de Janeiro and also in Switzerland. And I'm telling you, that work is fantastic. The public will probably never see most of it. But here is a jet-flamed Lady Liberty spaceship. And look at all those eyes on there. And she's raring to go. She's going across blue skies filled with personal messages that I don't know what he's trying to say. Lady Liberty from 1993 to 1962. USA Creed, Eagle Wing, not drawing. I mean, these I don't know what he means, but I thought it was stunning, and I wanted to have it in there. So there it is.
Yeah, like all those eyes in different places on this one. And it looks like she's got a headlight there.
Well, I know. But you see those things radiating from her head. It could be echoes of the you know, Statue of Liberty.
Yes, it could be the crown. I didn't think it looked to me as if she was just sparkling.
You're fading, Bob.
It just looked to me as if she was sparkling. Now the Talbot postcard figure number 92. This is so adorable. Tell us about it.
He has a whole series of cards. He was in love with the Statue of Liberty. And he just did these amazing cards. He did one on the Grant Wood, you know, couple standing there, the American Gothic thing. But I thought this was so perfect because there she is baking the American pie, and George Washington is up there looking at her. And I just thought it was dazzling to show that there is a sort of popular art that goes along with this, too, you know. She's pictured as a housewife in her little ruffle apron, and she's watching that pie while the New York sky papers, including our beloved Twin Towers that are no longer with us, looking at this. And I thought it was a nice way to end it for you, so to show a little, not kitsch, but kind of fun stuff in there. You know, there is kitsch out there. Don't kid yourself.
Well, I like those little fingers on the windowsill. and little portrait of George Washington in the back. And then you have a little memento of 1986, the little Statue of Liberty there. Oh, it's just gorgeous. It really is. Now, let's get to this one here. How is it that depictions on advertising are considered undignified, where depictions on early American utilitarian folk art, such as that stove radiator, are considered charming? Now, this is important.
Now, just bear with me here. That is actually a depiction of the Statue of Liberty. If you put that on a beer stein, that cheapens the Statue of Liberty. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sure.
If you're doing something, making a butter mold of the Statue of Liberty, that's okay. But if you've got that Statue of Liberty on the butter mold, on it, not as it's making the thing itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how kitsch comes in. And I had kitsch in the show. You cannot believe that. I had that ice cream cone lamp. I had towels from Bloomingdale's, Liberty Sand. I had Liberty up the kazoo. even that green wonderful thing. But it's fun, you know, it's fun, but it does take away. But it's tongue-in-cheek stuff. Some of it's popular, I call popular folk art, which I can accept. But some of that, it just gets to be crass. And, you got to draw a line somewhere. You just got to draw a line. It has to be done with a spirit of one of a kind. I mean, you can buy folk art made in Taiwan today. I mean, I wrote this book 25 years ago, and you can buy this reproduction folk art. I've seen it in the markets that I go to, the antique markets. They're passing it off.
Mm-hmm.
And who buys it, I don't know. You can smell it a mile away, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the answer, if that makes it clear to you at all.
Yeah, certainly.
Does that make any sense to you?
Well, it makes a lot more sense than where I was thinking about that, because I couldn't differentiate.
It's so simple that you miss it kind of.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I generally miss, making it too complicated.
No.
Now, figureheads for ships. Wow, did I learn a lot here.
Well, there's a wonderful one in the book that's blonde. I wish we could have showed a lot of these things, but you don't have time, you know.
No.
But that was the rare one. That was Columbia with the blonde hair. She's perfectly gorgeous.
Yeah, well, she's on page 12. I want to hold her up to the microphone. Because we have some pretty developed listeners in our audience that have learned how to see when we hold things up to the microphone.
She's figure 42 on page something. She's figure 42 in their book. That makes any sense to you?
Yeah.
Called the Goddess of Liberty. I think she looks like Columbia, but that's me.
But the figureheads for ships, well, I did not know one of the things, another thing that I've learned out of the 4,722 things that I've learned from your book, was that if something happened to the figurehead on the ship, that they would turn around and go home?
Absolutely, because that's their good luck.
Yeah.
Just like you remember the albatross story. The albatross is following your ship, you go back to port.
Then we got to get to some of these, talk a little bit about the circus images. When new Americans attended the circus, etc.
So wonderful, wonderful. Well, the one you asked about, first of all, these were hawkers and walkers. They started out, you know, the circus is ancient. It's an ancient thing. It came, you know, it goes way, 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 way back. But in this country, we had the peddlers, itinerant peddlers, because the person out in the farm couldn't get into any place. You couldn't run up to Bloomingdale's, you know.
Yeah.
So these itinerant peddlers would walk around, and then some of them would have, play a harmonica, or they'd have a monkey, or they'd even have a pet dog that would do a trick, or even a monkey grinder. Barnum Bailey started out selling a cherry smash, kind of a drink. And then he, believe it or not, bought a black slave 100-something years old, was supposed to be George Washington's nurse, and that was the first real thing that started thinking about taking people and animals who were different under, around to see things. He started that at 25, actually.
Yeah.
He hawked and his wares till he got enough money to start doing that. And it ended up, they started having larger and larger groups of wagons getting together, and there were two kinds of wagons, Bob. There was the bandwagon that had played music like on a calliope, and then there were the animals, the wild animals that were kept within an iron circus wagon. And these were touring the country in about the 1800s started. And, of course, when the circus came to town, holy blazes, everything broke out. It was wild and wonderful because they would, there would be the band marching, there would be the elephants walking in. We still have that in this country. Barnum Bailey goes around the eastern seaboard where the elephants come to town. In New York, they walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. Do you still know that?
I didn't know they went across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, that was the elephant walk, and God help the person that's trying to walk after that. anyway, it's the one that you mentioned, the wonderful circus wagon. I believe it's down in the circus museum in Florida, I think, in Sarasota. Is it the Ringling Brothers that have the circus museum?
It could be.
Down there, that's where it is, and that is divine. It is so beautifully done. You would love it. It's got all the bells and whistles, and I think Daniel Robb probably carved that because he was one of the best carvers. And Barnum had him do that. Barnum Bailey did, that was one of their wagons. But that is, I've got a little miniature circus that I just think is fabulous. It was a kit out of Philadelphia, and it's like, the little wagons are 4 inches long, and I've got all the little French things, the little men with the barbells and the little girl on the horse kind of mess. that, you know, these were toys, too, you know.
But yeah,
the circus was
I would have loved to have played with them. Now, hey, by the way, you say that the impact on folk art renditions of Liberty changed immediately after the enormous Statue of Liberty was erected in New York Harbor, and that was about 1886. What was that impact on folk art? What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, see, some of these things were the Liberty and the goddess of, you know, all the different goddesses, Minerva and this and that, but the moment she came out, you see that the back part of this book is devoted to part of her. I mean, there are wonderful things that the man did, a chocolate statue. There's a computer drawing of her graph. Hudson did a statue of a Liberty with Uncle Sam. I mean, you start seeing all kinds of folk art in cartoons and prints. There's a Boy Scout thing with Liberty. I mean, she immediately changes. Now you don't think of Liberty being, I mean, we don't use it in our culture today. We use the Statue of Liberty as our Liberty image. But before she came, it was Liberty, you know, the other, mm-hmm. the other groups.
Yeah. Well,
so it just permeated. It just goes down the line, Bob. You know, I was looking at something the other day that came on, flashed on television, and they were advertising Cow Day. I never heard such a thing in this country. There's
Cow
a Cow Day. And there was a bald eagle sitting above Cow Day. I thought, here we go. We haven't given up on these symbols. They're still, everybody knows that's the American Cow Day, you know.
Well, we've just got a minute or two left, but you close with some far-ranging thoughts on how the Statue of Liberty has entered our stream of consciousness as a society. What do you think it means that this symbol has been recreated over and over and over again by many people at different times throughout our history? And
you
enters
want me
our,
to read this thing to you?
Well, 47.
Why don't you read it? I'd like to hear you read it.
All right. Now, if it is true that man-made monuments are visual reminders of shared ideas, the memories and hopes of an entire society, and are chosen by that society as part of its collective image, continuing to inspire, then a monument can become a patriotic symbol, reflecting pride and deep love of country. If a patriotic symbol can permeate a society's psyche to such great depth that an instant recognition connotes its meaning, that is liberty, and it is recreated over and over by many people at different times, then this symbol has become part of the stream of consciousness of that society. And if it's true that folk art reflects that undercurrent, then it must be true that the Statue of Liberty has become monumental folk art.
And keep on going.
Yeah, well, that's about all we got time for.
Too bad.
I know. You would think that in 2 hours we could cover everything, but we can't, unfortunately. But we've gotten most of it accomplished tonight. And Nancy Jo, this is such an extraordinary piece of work. It's timeless. It is. You have created something that's timeless, and now my boss is pushing me out the door here. See you next week, friends, on 21st Century Radio. Get a copy of Liberties with Liberty, the fascinating history of America's proudest symbol.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm Sam.